And hey, welcome into the Tuesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Peeps, how are we doing? What's going on?
No. It's not how we're doing. It's happy birthday. How are you doing?
Thank you.
Happy 29th, Robbie.
Thank you.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, a year from now, this is going to be something.
So people are assuming you're like 34.
People assume I'm like, yeah, 36.
But when you say it's my 29th birthday, right, people are like, oh, okay, so yeah. Like you're in your mid-30s and you're still holding on to 29. But this is actually 29.
This is actually 29.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be one of those Cherish that say, it. Yeah, just I'm 29 the rest of my life. I'm cool. 30's fine with me.
You got a year.
I hope to make it to 30. That'd be great.
Yeah, that's right.
That's going to be step one.
That's a good perspective right there. So, but last year, your 20s. That's exciting.
It's been a good time.
It's interesting. Some people I know really, like 30 hit them hard. And then some people I know 40 hit them hard. And then, you know, you just keep getting
you
older.
Just keep 50. Going.
Like my next one is 50.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know. That might, because I've been fine with the other ones. You know, it's you know, whatever. 50 sounds old, though.
Right? But you have exceptional hair. So, I mean, you're living right.
Is that what it means?
That's what it means.
Yeah, I still got some lettuce. So take, but hey, it's not about me. It's about you, Robbie.
Well, thank you.
What can we do on your birthday today? What can we do to celebrate your birthday?
We're gonna have a great show. I don't know what we're gonna do.
Okay.
Besides that, but we're gonna have a great show.
You want some of this coffee?
Like, does look good.
Yeah, can I get you like a Danish or something?
Maybe so. I appreciate it.
Send us some good text on the text line, everybody.
Yes.
Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
That's right. 615-737-1025. Michelle, how are we doing? What's going on?
Doing good this morning. Excited to celebrate your birthday. I've got some bump music surprises for you, Robbie.
Oh, yeah.
So it's going to be a fun day.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
I thought it was your golden birthday, but it's the 28th today. So I guess last year was your golden birthday.
Last year. Yep, 28 on 28.
All right, golden birthday. Yeah. And then isn't there another one too? Like, well, I guess it's just like double.
Like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, whatever those are called. 11, 22, 33.
Yeah.
That's something that people do too. It's a something birthday. I don't know.
Essentially, any way just to celebrate your birthday.
Yeah. So, what are there big plans then around the Stanley household tonight?
We kind of did it on Saturday. Was basically we grilled out, watched Tennessee Florida game. That's really I'm low key. That's all I need.
Yeah.
So good stuff.
No tuxedo and surfing turf tonight or
none of that.
Yeah.
No. Okay. Ben texting into the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I was 29 sometime recently. Don't keep track now. Well, and maybe the strategy I start to keep moving forward here.
Yeah. I've definitely, like legitimately, quite often in the last 3-4 years been like, I don't know, 40 what? I don't know, man.
It's funny you say that because literally yesterday until about 4:30 when I went and checked my mail and I had a card. Like a birthday card. I was like, oh, yeah, how about that? Tomorrow's my birthday. I forgot about that. Legitimately forgot all day. I was like, oh, okay.
Or when somebody asks you your age, you just say a wrong age just as thinking you are.
Yeah.
Like I tell everyone I'm 21. I'm like, whoa, that was like 4 years ago. I'm not 21. I'm definitely 24.
You tell people you're 21.
Well, I just like forget. I'm like, oh, yeah. Like, I call my sisters 13 years old, and they're like, we're 16, Michelle. What are you talking about? I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot. Like in your head, they're just that certain number, you know?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's bad.
Wait till you get to this age, then.
Yeah, you could be in for a rough go of things.
I'm 50, saying I'm 21 still. Yeah.
So wait, you're 25 then?
24.
24.
Okay, so you still have one more milestone to hit.
Yeah.
Because 25 is when you can rent a car from any rental company. Like a lot of them are 25. You have to be 25.
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
Oh, yeah. I didn't realize that until, tried to do that.
Is that right?
It's quite frustrating.
Yeah.
Quite frustrating.
See, there you go. And that's basically
it.
The last thing you have to look forward to, yeah, in terms of getting older. Yeah,
I mean, AARP's coming up for you, right?
Yeah, well, I actually am getting emails from them. So apparently.
That's right. I appreciate it. Well, we're off and running today here on the show, taking your thoughts on the Titans. On our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. And, Joe, we talked a lot about it yesterday on the show. What was Mike Vrabel going to say about Julio Jones and the situation in the fourth quarter, where Julio basically did not play for the Titans. And, of course, it was brought up. It was the first question, I believe, yesterday at the press conference with Mike Vrabel. And he addressed it. And it was a variety of different reactions on social media when Mike Vrabel addressed the Julio Jones situation. Here's what the Tennessee Titans head coach had to say yesterday at his Monday press conference surrounding the Julio Jones situation against Indianapolis.
Yesterday left a lot of room for interpretation, and today you said he's tight. Did you intentionally not say that he was tight?
No, I just needed to go. Carter was pitching, and I needed to go watch him pitch. So I told Teresa it would be 7 minutes. She said, texting me, it was 6:55. No, it just... We always go down this road with injuries, and again, I can't be more adamant that Julio's performance and what we've asked him to do hasn't been perfect. My coaching hasn't been perfect. Everybody else hasn't been perfect. But he's done what we've asked him to do, and he's played with great effort. So, you know, if I wasn't as clear as maybe I should have been or we would have liked me to be, I'm just trying to tell you that, you know, it wasn't a performance-related thing, and that we'll continue to make sure that we get guys ready for the game and make sure that their health and safety is paramount. And you know, we'll see who's available this week. We'll see how everybody else feels. We got a long injury report on Monday.
So Mike Vrabel talking about the Julio Jones situation yesterday and said that Julio's the decision to hold him out in the fourth quarter was not a performance issue, and talked about, you know, how Julio Jones has done everything that the Titans have asked him to do since he's come here and been a member of the Titans, and basically said that Julio Jones had some tightness going on the sideline over there, and that he was going to be used in an emergency situation only. So we talked about it yesterday. Like, to me, this idea that you're just sitting Julio Jones down for the sake of sitting him down to try to keep him fresh for a long season, it really didn't make much sense to me if there wasn't something physically going on with Julio Jones. And it sounds like there was something physically going on with Julio Jones to the point where Vrabel didn't seem to be comfortable putting him in the game unless he absolutely needed to go into the game.
Yeah, this whole thing is important to understand how Vrabel approaches things. So the first question was about Julio, too. I mean, there were a few yesterday, but he said, Julio, here's the quote. Quote, guys go through games, guys get tight, and I felt like it was the best interest of our football team, everybody involved, he'd be available, an emergency situation at that point in time. Yep. Okay, so then I asked, okay, so tight meaning? Because, like, you know, you can interpret that a lot of ways. Like, there's – and the problem here is – when you are just devoted to not talking about injuries, you open things up like this. Yep. That's the problem here. Yep. Okay, so what does it mean, tight? Quote, guys get tight throughout the game, physically tight. Listen, guys, this is going to be the least I talk about injuries. I think he meant the most I talk about injuries.
No, he did too.
Is what we do. This is not an issue with his performance. It's an issue with anything other than me making decisions saying, hey, man, let's see if we can get through this and survive, win this football game. It's a long season. So, yeah, first of all, yeah, like I got all – you know, fired up yesterday about the whole, we had a big, people who cover the team, the load management. Because, like, load management, I guess, unless you define it differently than I do, but if you define it like I do, that's a plan, right? That's a plan, and typically it means, like, well, in the NBA, it's like take games off, but sometimes a half off or whatever. Like, no one is saying, you know what? It's a really close game. It's a division rival. This is a huge game. We're up one score. It's going to be physical. This is a good time for some load management for Julio.
Yeah.
Let's just sit him, you know? Let's have a little load management. This is one of two things. This is reacting to something that happened. That there's no question. Yep. This is react. Now, look, there's going to be people who, and I mean, I heard Jared talking about this yesterday. I'm not sure I believe him. There's going to be people who say, it's not that. It's like it's some sort of beef with Vrabel and Julio and all that stuff. They're going to say it.
Yeah.
I don't think that's what this is. I think that he had a tweak. And, in fact, there actually is some pregame video where he apparently sort of pulled up a little bit and went to the trainer. You know, he pulled up in camp and missed 2 weeks. You know, all you got to do is, I don't understand why there was an injury designation for him then in the game, or why even previously there hasn't been any sort of mention of what specifically bothers him. Has been bothering him. Remember, he had the hamstring last year that kept him out of a lot of games. Hamstrings are problematic. I don't know if that's what this is, but when I hear tight, that to me says soft tissue and potentially, you know, hamstring, quad, something like that. I think it was that. Some people are going to say no. I mean, think about this. If Vrabel actually is like mad at Julio or something like that, or like he didn't block or whatever, and he says this now, what's Julio going to say to that? Like, so Julio knows he's lying about that? Like, I mean, it doesn't really add up. It just, the whole thing is just made much easier by just saying specifically what happened and then moving on. But instead, we get half a press conference devoted to this stuff.
Well, exactly. And this is why, you know, I said yesterday, if you just say, hey, yeah, he tweaked something. We were worried about what that could do long term. We just lost A.J. Brown and we had Bud Dupree out. There's all these injuries going around. We want to make sure Julio's ready to go as we move forward here. Then that's kind of the end of it right there. You just wait for the injury report to come out this week and see if Julio Jones could play on Sunday. But instead, you know, half our show yesterday is talking about Julio Jones and half the press conference yesterday is talking about Julio Jones when there's a situation right there where you could have avoided that. Now, look, at this point, I think we know this is just what it's going to be with Mike Vrabel. He does not want to talk about injuries. He, most of the time, will not talk about injuries, which is why yesterday I was interested to see how that was going to go. You know, if I'm a Titans fan, I think I feel better after hearing that press conference yesterday because it just sounds like, yeah, he tweaked something. You know, if they absolutely needed him to go in there, then I guess he would have if the emergency situation is accurate and that's what it actually was. But now you're concerned about Julio Jones. Is he going to be able to play this week? I mean, the injuries just continue to pile up for this team.
Yeah. Well, and it'll be interesting to see if he's on the report tomorrow when they get back to practice and if, you know, if he's out there and everything like that. Available in emergency situation, that's not bad, right? I mean, he had his helmet, so it can't have been bad.
Right.
It's just, again, to me, I mean, it's semantics, but it's just there's still quite a difference between something happened, okay, let's be careful, and load management.
Yeah.
I mean, like, honestly, like, that's almost fireable if you're a coach and you're just, like, in a game like that. Now, they won, but what if you lost that game and you're out there? It's like, nah, we're going to go with, you know, we're going to go with Racy McMath and Westbrook Akina.
So we'll make sure Julio's fresh coming down the stretch.
Yeah, it's hey, you know what? November is a long month, man. I mean, no, that's silly. That's silly. That he wouldn't do that. So again, it was one of two things. It was this, which I think it's this. Again, if this is some beef between him and now he just told everybody that basically Julio was hurt, then how does Julio react to that then? Like that, then you're turning it into a big ball of just trouble.
Well,
you know?
It goes back to what I said yesterday. If that's what it was and there's a beef, the fourth quarter when you don't have A.J. Brown is not the time for Mike Vrabel to do that. So it's just right. That part of it really never made sense to me.
No. So, but it is. It's just, it's frustrating on the Vrabel front. Just, I understand your policy, and I think it makes sense in a lot of ways in a lot of situations. Sometimes spike it into the ground, launch it into the sun, tell us what's going on. It's better for everybody.
Absolutely. We'll continue this conversation when we come back. Taking your thoughts on the Julio Jones situation on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Streaming live today and every day on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry, Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode, Michelle Konezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Heidi from Dixon texting in. Happy Eat Cake Day. Hope you age better than Julio. Thank you, Heidi.
I feel like Julio's
age. I would like to age exactly like Julio Jones. Would be great.
It'd be cool to be an elite athlete.
It would.
In the world, in your 30s. That'd be okay. But what if Heidi got her hands on Julio's feet? How much fun would he be?
He could be moving, man. Could really be something. Let's go back to the text line. I got a text that says, I feel like the Titans have always been very vague in injury reports. When some players have gone on or IR after a game and they didn't say anything during the game. This is coming from Josh in Cookeville. Well, part of this is confusing because, and Darren was talking about this a little bit yesterday too, like if Julio Jones is hurt, we typically see that on an injury report in the middle of the game, right? I mean, A.J. Brown pretty quickly was, hey, A.J. Brown is questionable to return with a hamstring injury. And then at some point, A.J. Brown's out with a hamstring injury. He's not coming back. We didn't hear anything about Julio Jones.
And it was asked.
Yeah.
On the broadcast, the sideline reporter did a good job, and they were just like, nope. So, you know, again, how big, what exactly was the thing, you know? Again, if Vrabel says guys get tight, physically tight, okay, that means something happened, but not enough to give an injury designation. Will he be on the injury report this week? But as far as the vague, I mean, look, the reason we have any injury information on the Titans is because the league mandates it. If not, there would never be a peep about anything.
No.
So make sure you understand that. And like yesterday, lost in all the Julio stuff, was a very curious situation that continues. And credit to Luke Worsham for, I think, asking exactly the question as it should have been asked. And in fact, I'm trying to remember the exact question, but basically he said, okay, is Josh Reynolds, you know, is he hurt or was he just unavailable? Basically,
he said, was there an injury or was he a healthy scratch? I think is the way Luke phrased it. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. Was there an injury or was he a healthy scratch? He wasn't available. Okay. We know he wasn't available.
Thank you, Mike.
So, again, basically, I'm not going to tell you.
Yeah.
I am not going to answer that question. But that's a curious situation, too. I have to assume, I don't have to, but I guess I am assuming that Josh Reynolds is still limited or adversely affected by the injuries that have been keeping him out for like a spring and a lot of camp.
But he also wasn't on the injury report last week.
Maybe not. He was on the injury report last week, and he was just one of the scratches on Sunday. So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's just they've realized, actually, yeah, he's just not good enough to play. But I'm seeing, you know, again, I'm seeing Racy McMath out there, and I understand that there's a different role for Racy McMath, too, in the kicking game. But, I don't know, I'm looking at that receiving core and how deep they had to reach, and it seems like Josh Reynolds – might have been handy.
Yeah. Well, and what about now moving forward with, look, I don't know what's going to happen with A.J. Brown, and Adam Schefter came out with a report yesterday that says A.J. Brown is week to week with a hamstring injury. To me, I mean, I guess I could be wrong, but that pretty much tells me he's not playing this week, would be my guess.
Yeah. I don't even, like, I would think even this week if, like, on Thursday he's like, I feel great. I feel 100%. I still might be like, yeah, it's a hamstring though, so let's sit one out here. And then, yeah, I mean, honestly, you could. Now, you play with fire in this league when you think this way.
Yes.
We can think this way.
Yeah.
I mean, you could easily just try to cool him off for 2 weeks, go beat the Jets and Jaguars, as you should, and then bring him back for the Monday night game against the Bills when the schedule turns into just murderer's row.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and I saw a lot of people on social media yesterday said there's no way that A.J. Brown should take a snap for this team until the Monday night game against Buffalo. And look, I hear you. That also would be a heck of a way to lose to the Jaguars, having A.J. Brown available and not playing him in that game.
Right, yeah. Well, I mean, that'd be a good problem to have.
It would be.
You know, so that's the thing. They'd love to get to the point where they actually have to make a tough decision just based on being careful.
Right.
I think right now it's I mean, sometimes those things, I mean, it's possible he won't be ready for the Buffalo game. You got to understand that. So that's something to watch. But in the meantime, okay, is Marcus Johnson coming off IR this week? I think if so, that would be very timely.
It would be.
And then Josh Reynolds. Like, is Josh Reynolds a factor? Is he, has he been just discarded? You know, I don't know. If he's not on the injury report, not playing, and the guys who are playing are the guys who are playing, I have to wonder.
Him not being on the injury report and then not being active tells me he was a healthy scratch. I mean, that's what it tells me.
Well, I agree. I mean, the only, I guess this is, it's almost like the Julio situation where it's like, well, it's not an injury that rose to the level of being reported to the sideline report, or, you know, officially reported. So, yeah, Julio Jones, questionable, whatever. But I still, I mean, I just have to suspect that when you have Achilles issues that, well, you're not as explosive.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Steve from Clarksville texting in. You got to look at it from Vrabel's side. Jones was kept out for a tight-slash-cramped muscle to be used as a last resort, or would you rather see him play every down and risk a serious injury and be out for 2 to 6 weeks or more?
Oh, I don't question the decision to do it.
No.
It's just why. If I was Vrabel in that spot and something tightened up on Julio Jones and I'm ahead – and, yeah, I'm looking at this like, well, it's about running the ball and controlling the clock. I totally understand it. Now, there are a couple plays in there where you're in an obvious passing situation. And you're like, number two would be nice out there. But still, I mean, I don't fault the decision. And I heard, this whole like, well, Carson Wentz played, so it was desperation for them. How could you not play Julio? Well, that's why, because then you're going to risk something when you're ahead. You have a chance to win the game without him. I mean, it's a gamble, but it obviously paid off. I probably would have made the same decision, because you do have to think. You have to think long term. That's just not load management to me.
Exactly.
That's just being careful with a slight injury, or I don't know, a pre-injury. Anything tightens up on someone. And boy, that term is just going to get worn out.
Oh, yeah, buddy.
Actually, Dennis had a nice tweet out of the tighten up thing, but he spelled it, you know, with a G-H.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But anything gets tight on someone, and I think that's the smart move.
Let's go back to the text line. Mark from Paris texting in. Honestly, do coaches in college and the NFL really ever tell you the truth? Heupel never really told us what exactly was wrong with Milton. All we know is it was lower extremity, nothing specific. This is coming from Mark in Paris.
Yeah, well, that's the difference between college and the NFL is that the NFL makes – the NFL mandates injury reports. And I'll tell you this, as we move into this era now where gambling is just absolutely everywhere,
yep,
I'm very interested to see if we're at some point going to see some sort of formalized injury report for college football as well. But in the NFL, obviously, for a long time now, it's been mandated. And again, if that was not the case, we would have no idea from Vrabel about any of this stuff. So Heupel's doing what college coaches do, and some go beyond what he does.
Oh yeah, I got a text that. So I'm curious, if a player has something lingering, like a hamstring or something, do the Titans have to put them on the injury report, or can they just keep them inactive? So that would be kind of going right into the Josh Reynolds situation.
Well, if you're on the active roster, then you have to be on the injury report.
Yeah.
So like when they put guys on IR, for example, they don't specify. They don't have to. So they didn't have to specify what the injuries were with various players who went on injured reserve. But if you're on the active roster, those injury reports, you are supposed to report anything that anybody has. Now, you know, certain teams have had fun. Of course, remember the Patriots would put Brady on every week just for no reason. Yeah. What was it? What was his supposed injury?
Oh, he had a couple of different ones. I think one was like his shoulder.
But like for a while, they were just trolling everyone, right? He wasn't hurt, but he was still on the report. Yeah. So, and rest assured, there have been players who have not gone on the report.
Yes.
You know, I mean, that's no doubt about it. But yes, the rules are, active roster, practice, you have a report, and then on Friday you have to come out with your designations.
Well, to that point.
Questionable, et cetera, et cetera.
To that point, apparently Tom Brady played all last year with a sprained knee and was never on the injury report.
Right, so, yeah, exactly.
There you go.
Yeah, look, and I mean, it is. I've heard this from people, you know, from coaches and players. Well, in hockey, you know, in hockey, it's very much, yeah, lower body, upper body. Guys like, you know what? I specify what I have, and guess what guys start doing? They start going for what I have. So I understand that, but it's the rules.
Yeah.
ESPN 94.9 is the official English radio home of the Nashville Soccer Club. Listen in tomorrow night as Nashville SC takes on Orlando at Nissan Stadium. The pregame starts at 7:15, and the match begins at 7:30. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans and the wide receiver room. What are they going to do moving forward in the short term, potentially without A.J. Brown? All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
On social media, just kind of saying, you know, acknowledging that it's been a tough couple weeks. As a coach, like putting those emotional deposits, like how do you coach them through this time period, you know, and help them understand that it will get better?
Well, I have a great relationship with AJ. You know, I feel like that's grown over the time that he's been here. You know, we have some great conversations. We've put a lot of trust in each other as far as, you know, those things that are discussed in those conversations. So we'll obviously keep those between AJ and I, but, you know, I'm confident that, you know, he'll do his best to get back out there and be a, you know, be the player and the person that, you know, that we've come to expect. And, you know, we all go through things throughout the course of a season. It's a long season, and we all deal with a lot. And I'm confident that, you know, everybody, including AJ, will, you know, be able to weather some of those.
That was Titans head coach Mike Vrabel yesterday at his press conference talking about A.J. Brown. And as we said earlier in the show, Joe, Adam Schefter reporting that A.J. Brown week to week with a hamstring injury. And we talked about it yesterday on the show. Anytime you start to talk about soft tissue injuries, those are concerning in the fact that maybe they can linger around if you try to come back too quickly. So going to be interesting to see how the Titans handle life without A.J. Brown. I would assume that he's probably not going to play this week, given the week-to-week designation on the hamstring. And anytime you start talking about a hamstring, very rarely is it just a one-week injury. You want to be as careful and as cautious with that as possible if you're the Titans. So the question is, if A.J. Brown can't go and Julio Jones was experiencing some tightening up on the sideline on Sunday, what are the Titans going to do at wide receiver? Look, Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, other than the fumble, I thought played pretty well in that game against Indianapolis. Obviously, you know, Cam Batson got in, got some snaps. Chester Rogers has been out there. We'll see about Marcus Johnson. Is there a possibility he could come back this week? I think that's going to be interesting to keep your eye on this week. But if it's no A.J. Brown, and who knows about Julio and what his status is going to be throughout this week, what do the Titans do at wide receiver if A.J. Brown's not there and Julio may be limited in some capacity?
Yeah, well, that's the big thing. If Julio is okay, then I think they're fine.
You get a lot of targets.
Yeah. You still have a premier receiver out there. And there's a lot to it, too. What about Firkser?
Yeah. You know,
I mean, Firkser is not on IR, so he's giving it a go during these weeks to play. But, you know, is he going to be part of it? Because that would obviously help the passing game. Marcus Johnson is a big storyline for sure. That would definitely ease a lot of the concern if he were to come back. Again, like if you had Johnson and Reynolds was like active and useful, then I think you'd feel fine. But based on the scratch Sunday, I don't know. Westbrook-Ikhina, hey. We can make all the jokes we want to make, but the guy has stepped up.
Yeah.
And he's become a pretty solid, you know, fourth, fifth receiver. Now, is he
number one, number two receiver?
Well,
maybe.
You know, right now. I mean, I watched Racy McMath the other day get some snaps. I don't think he's necessarily ready to do a lot in an NFL game. But look, Cam Batson,
the guy
still makes plays.
Yes. Yeah.
He does. So, like, people asking about, you know, going to make a trade or something. I don't think you trade assets when you have this many players at that position and you have some injuries. I mean, you have to lean on your depth. You have to lean on your depth just about every spot in the course of an NFL season. I still think it's not bad. You know, again, Batson's out there. Chester Rogers, you got to catch the ball.
Got to hold like the ball.
You can't let these passes pop up into the air. You know, that's 2 weeks in a row with that. In Westbrook-Ikhina, you can't fumble. But, like, was Westbrook-Ikhina a net plus or a net negative? To me, you have to be an absolute negative Nelly to not look at his entire game leading the team in catches and yards with a touchdown, with the blocking, with a couple really good grabs in there, and then the fumble, and say that it was a net minus. It wasn't, but you got to clean that up. Chester Rogers got to clean his stuff up. I still think I think you can get through, and basically, especially against the Jets, I think you can get through. You got 22 still.
By the way, 22 just won the Angry Runs on Good Morning Football
did
this week
that?
For his hit against Darius Leonard.
Sending Darius Leonard into
Clarksville.
Yeah, Gallatin.
Yeah. Let's go back to the text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe from Maryland texting in. I mentioned something yesterday about making a trade. If Julio, AJ, and Reynolds are out, I got destroyed for the comment online.
Good.
So are people happy with Westbrook, Rogers, and Batson? That's not good.
I'm glad you got destroyed, Joe from Maryland. I won't destroy you, but I just went through it. It's like, look, it's not ideal.
Sure.
But, I mean, Batson can make plays for you. Rogers can make plays for you. I will say, if this Julio thing actually is a keeping him out of games thing, I guess you can look around, but I just don't. Why are you trading assets right now? And what are you getting back? You went and signed Josh Reynolds.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd like to know more about Josh Reynolds right now. Because I continue to think his speed could really be an asset, but he's
got to have speed. Yep. Josh from Jackson, Tennessee, texting in. Did the defensive line look good, or was the Colts' offensive line bad? Simmons is a monster, and there's always gas in his tank.
Well, look, Quentin Nelson goes out in the first half. Yep. You're talking about their best offensive lineman. Braden Smith, not there. Eric Fisher, who gave up two sacks on his own, is still coming back from an Achilles.
Yep.
That's why when I look at the Colts, I just don't buy that they're a bad football team. They are a banged-up football team right now. I mean, I think that they should have leaned more on their running backs, frankly, in the game, and less on, hey, Carson, just stand there and find somebody, please, quickly, because you're about to get hit 10 times. So I think the Titans did a pretty good job. I mean, but in short yardage, even without Quentin Nelson in short yardage, I think the Colts got it every time, didn't they?
Yep.
I think there's still some concern and some need for better play from those guys.
Heidi from Dixon texting back in. A friend of mine, Casey in Benton County, says y'all's show is the reason he started opening up to watching sports. Just want to thank you for doing a great job. Thank you, Heidi. Welcome, Casey.
Wait, our Heidi?
Yeah.
Wow. Thanks, Heidi. Is she being nice because it's your birthday?
Maybe so. But as far as the Titans, he wonders why people are so content with them being mediocre so often.
So why people are content with them being mediocre, yeah.
Well, I think that's changing this year. And, you know, we talked about the reaction of Taylor Lewan in game one against Arizona. And, yes, that game was so bad. But I think part of what made that game so bad and why the fans were as upset as they were is the expectations for this team. I mean, that was a sold-out crowd. That was a very Titans-heavy crowd in that game, which, by the way, I thought the crowd was pretty good again on Sunday against Indianapolis.
It was very similar.
You know, we were wondering how would the fans respond this year. I think back-to-back, really good showings from the fans, even in week one where there was not much to be excited about in that game. But, look, I think the expectations are very high for this team, and that's why I think we saw the reaction that we did in week one.
I mean, it sounded like people were thrilled with the first-round playoff loss. They won the division last year, and I didn't hear it. I mean, you always – look, there's always some portions of a fan base that are just like, you know what, they tried, and we – like, they're our guys, and I have a jersey of Derrick Henry, so I like them. I'm happy. And there's people that are going to be upset about everything.
Yeah.
Like, I just – look, frankly, I look at the other day, it was far from a perfect game. They made a bunch of mistakes. It could have been an easier game, but I think that was a pretty good win. At this point, in this league, there aren't many. I mean, how many wins are bad? You know, they've really. Now, granted, if you go out, I guess, this week and you have to beat the Jets like 9-6 or something, then it's worth complaining about that.
Sure.
But there aren't many bad wins in this league. Yeah, I agree with you. I think the expectations are very different this year. I think the fans, those two crowds, tell you something. And also, what the ratings from the Seattle, I'm interested to see this week, but the ratings from the Seattle game are like the biggest in 10 years. So, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of eyeballs on this team right now. And I think with that does come more complaining when things go on. Everybody had every right to be furious, to go get all excited and hyped up and go watch them play the way they did in week one. But I think they've responded. We'll see.
I can't hear the words tighten up or hyped up this year without going immediately two places in my mind, either Josh Heupel or the Titans.
Got to really work on the vocab, you know?
Just that's what these phrases do, man. I got hyped up on Saturday after that 175-yard touchdown pass. That ended quickly. We'll get more into the balls coming up here in just a few minutes. JP from Spring Hill texting in. We don't need to trade anything. Just sign Dez Bryant.
There you go. That's one of the over the years, there was the Dez Bryant. There was Antonio Brown.
Oh, yeah.
Who else? Who else has been out there that people wanted?
Why am I blanking on his name, but he's about to sign with the Chiefs.
Oh, Josh Gordon?
Yeah, Josh Gordon, who's on, you know, suspended every year, that somehow continues to find his way back in league. Yeah, he's going to Kansas City.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Well, they are 1-2. They need some help.
They do.
They need some weapons on offense.
That's right.
Well, look, in all seriousness, I hope he's, you know, just like Isaiah Wilson, I hope Josh Gordon has got it figured out. Got some stuff going on. Has had some stuff going on. But, yeah, there's another one. Yeah, I don't think there's anybody out there on the receiver wire that they're going to be looking for any sort of trade. But I'm also thinking that Julio Jones is going to be playing still. I think he's going to play this week.
Josh from Jackson texting in. Love y'all's show. Thank you, Josh. Got to give my Cardinals a shout out, going for 17 tonight. Have you seen this? The Cardinals, 16 wins in a row in Major League Baseball. They're going for number 17 tonight.
That is wild.
I don't know. Is that popular here? Is that not popular here? There's a lot of Cardinals fans here. There's obviously more Braves, I think. A lot of Reds fans.
I feel like the Cardinals are the number two.
It could be.
That's just my totally informal. But
informal poll?
Yeah, but there's a lot of Cardinals fans here for sure. Yeah.
17 in a row, that'd be something. I mean, 16 in baseball, it's pretty good.
Yeah. I freaking hate the Cardinals.
They always do this, though. Like, they just find a way to
It's an incredible
get in the playoffs.
Yep. Yeah, it really is. They're one of the great, consistent, like, why do some organizations have consistent winning, like the Pittsburgh Steelers, the St. Louis Cardinals in baseball?
Although that one may be coming to an end.
Well, the Steelers, they may have a stinker of a year on the way. Yes. But, you know. But
they're in for a world of hurt on Sunday.
With a hiccup here and there, they figure it out. Because from top down, you've got people who know what they're doing.
When we come back, we'll continue the conversation on the Titans, including a couple of things that Mike Vrabel was clearly frustrated about yesterday at his press conference. More on that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Sound like you're obviously too pleased about it yesterday. I wonder if you got a chance to look at it.
Still not as pleased with it.
did you get a chance to look at it again on tape? And
I'd seen it once. I didn't need to watch it twice.
Like Ryan mentioned, there was like kind of a miscommunication.
There you go.
Okay.
The guy throwing the ball says it was miscommunication. Guess who am I to tell you any differently?
You said you gave him a little bit of grief about not sliding. And what's the line there where you wanted to be?
That was Titans head coach Mike Vrabel yesterday. Still pretty upset about Ryan Tannehill's first interception on Sunday against Indianapolis. I love the back and forth between him and Glennon. Vrabel says something, Glennon, sure. And he immediately goes into a different question.
Sure, Mike. Yeah, but Mike.
Okay.
Sure. Yep. Okay. Yeah. Okay, then.
Awesome.
It's always good.
By the way, we'll have John Glennon on the show today at 8 o'clock. Looking forward to that.
Yeah. And, so that one, that was kind of confirmation. I mean, first of all, Vrabel said after the game he threw it into a pep rally, which is probably one of Vrabel's best quotes ever. And then, yeah, Tannehill, you know, there's a miscommunication, all that stuff. There was, you know, those guys bumped into each other, but you still don't throw the ball. You know?
No.
I mean, that was like a weird – he was obviously they bumped into each other, so I think McNichols ran his thing wrong. But regardless, they bumped into each other. You know, it was Keystone Cops running the routes.
Yep.
And then Tannehill's like pumps because obviously he thought Hudson would be at a spot, and then he just stands there and still throws it. I mean, that was a bad. So you got to put that on Tannehill. You have to. So clearly, Vrabel basically laughing at the idea that that would be evaluated as like, you know, a miscommunication on someone else. Like, don't throw that ball. Another. So that's one thing from yesterday that I'm going to clearly take away. And the other is when he was asked about, now this is a little bit more of me reading into things, but, you know, he was asked about Lawan and the quote, here's the entire quote. He was okay. There were some good things, some plays he'd like to have back, I'm sure. Now, this is me reading into it, but I bet you Vrabel didn't love the Lawan thing.
Probably not.
I mean, it's a big win for the, because again, it's like, it's a huge win for the team, whether you like how they played or not. Whatever you think of the Colts, I think the Colts are going to be good before the year's over, but like, they're banged up. But it's a big win for the team, big moment, and we're talking about the booing stuff 2 weeks later. Now, again, I am not going to discourage anyone from being honest or human or talking about things.
Talk about it, yeah.
I'm for it. But I also understand why, like, a Vrabel in particular would be like, why is this a thing right now?
Well, it's funny you brought that up, because one of the things I thought about while we were playing that audio yesterday, and the Titans, by the way, I really enjoy these videos the Titans come out with of Vrabel in the locker room after the game. Like,
yep,
it's pretty cool stuff. But the first thing I thought about when I heard that Taylor Lewan stuff, as far as it relates to Vrabel, was I thought to the Week 2 video after they win in Seattle. Vrabel ends his speech by saying, talk about the team, put the team first, all this other stuff as they go out into the media. And, you know, I'm sure that's Vrabel's message every time when they're about to go talk to the media is, don't make it about yourself, talk about the team, all this jazz. And then to hear that from Taylor Lewan, which, again, I was all for Taylor Lewan being honest and talking about these things, but I could see where Vrabel probably would not be a fan of that.
Yeah, no doubt. I got a text from Jared. Thanks for waking up early, Jared. I was hoping to get texts from you in the first hour. Odell Beckham Jr. was apparently. Do you remember this? The people were. We were talking about receivers that the fans were clamoring for. I don't remember.
Oh, yeah.
Was Odell? I don't remember that being a big thing.
Oh yeah.
I guess when he was sort. Yeah, I guess that's right, because he was sort of on the outs in New York and everything. And like so trade for Odell. Yeah.
Pre AJ Brown, Titans like, fans been clamoring for a lot of receivers.
Desperately, yeah. Desperately get everyone. Yeah. Right. So. Speaking of Jared, real fast, I mean, he said the Titans sucked and Tannehill was awful Sunday. So that was an interesting take yesterday by Jared.
Well, look, it wasn't Tannehill's best game ever, but he made some pretty big plays in that game.
Tannehill, that pick was bad. I've seen Aaron Rodgers throw. You certainly know what I'm talking about. I didn't see. I guess Patrick Mahomes threw a no-look pick yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't excuse anything, but, like, the greatest quarterbacks in the game, period, throw awful picks at times. Tannehill didn't have big numbers. I thought he was really good Sunday. I thought he was overall really good. Yeah, okay, there's another throw that was risky. I didn't think it was that close to being picked off. But it's a throw you probably don't make. And other than that, again, you have – like, you have practice squad guys on the field with you. Does that not matter? I think it matters.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not your fault that the ball popped off Chester Rogers. It's not your fault Westbrook-Ikhinda fumbled. And then you threw those other three touchdown passes. And, again, the McNichols TD pass was better than people think it was.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Dustin from Hopkinsville, Kentucky, texting in. I like where we sit, as banged up as we are, to be sitting 2-1, winning against Seattle in their house after being down 16 and then beating the division rival Colts. The role that's falling in our lap is sleeper team. We're loaded with talent. The division is weak halfway through the season. Hopefully we're completely healthy again. I mean, look at Kansas City. Most people are writing them off. Come on, where do you think they're going to be after 17 games? Lots of fair-weather fans for the Titans. They just live in the now, and it leaves me thinking of a line from The Wizard of Oz. If I only had a brain. This coming from Dustin in Hopkinsville, Kentucky.
That's a long text, Dustin. Who the hell's writing off the Chiefs right now?
I haven't seen much of that.
Come on.
I am surprised they're 1-2.
But
they got some problems. Their defense is not good.
I agree with the overall sentiment, though, Dustin. I mean, it's, you know, I'd say right now there's a lot for the Titans to clean up, but there's a lot of things that are working in their favor. I mean, it comes down to, I mean, is Bud Dupree going to get that knee okay and and help you? Well, you know, are you going to get guys like Evans back and Amani Hooker back? I mean, the health stuff is a big concern right now.
Well, and the other big concern is the turnover situation going to turn around, or is this going to be what it is for the Titans this year? I mean, it's 7-1 right now. You can't keep turning the ball over as much as you are. But to Vrabel's point, he said this yesterday, and he said it multiple times, you got to start forcing some more turnovers too. We talked about that heading into the season. You know, as awful as that Titans defense was last year, and they were bad, they did have some moments where they forced some big turnovers. And, you know, the turnover margin was really good for this team, quite frankly, because the offense just didn't turn the ball over all that much. But that's got to change with this defense. They've played, I think, well, especially for the last six quarters. You got to find a way to start forcing some more turnovers.
It's weird because it was a bad defense last year that actually forced more turnovers than you would think for such a feeble pass rush.
Yeah.
And all the other numbers sort of – you're right. A lot of it was the offense not turning over, but they've had a pretty good – you know, they were – I have to look at the rankings. They were, like, at least middle of the pack in forcing turnovers. And this defense has been better and is not doing it at all. And I agree. There's no way you sustain winning at this rate of turnover margin. You get the next 2 weeks, you probably have a chance to maybe, you know, to maybe close that gap. Yeah, little Zach Wilson, little Trevor Lawrence, little rookie quarterback double play for you. So, you know, take advantage of that.
Alex texting in, Dupree looking like another clowny. Bud Dupree looking like another clowny. By the way,
clowny,
two man.
Sacks. Two sacks.
Good gracious.
although apparently, you know, Matt Nagy said, hey, Justin, we have three plays in the playbook we're going to let you run. And no leaving the pocket. Just stay in the pocket.
Just stay there, buddy.
And let's have some deep drops and stay in the pocket the whole game. Okay?
That's our game plan. Right now, man.
So that I can tell everybody, see, that's why Andy Dalton's my starter.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's – but, yeah, Clowney, two sacks. It's a little early to go Clowney on Dupree. Let's, again, remember, December ACL tear. So when they signed him, we were talking on this show, is it like, does he miss the first month of the season? Yeah. Does he, like, is it mid-season? Is it kind of like, remember Jeffrey Simmons as a rookie now? Of course, he tore his ACL, I think, in January working out.
Yep.
But, you know, it was about mid-season or so, or a little bit after, right, when he finally – so it is early in the clock from getting back from an ACL. You got to keep that in mind. And this is a big week. But I would say, like, you get a few games and he doesn't contribute, and that's going to be a talking point. And, look, it's going to go back to John Robinson signing injured players, drafting injured players. You get value out of it, but then it's not good value if they aren't good players.
Play silly underdog picks today. Pick the three football underdog teams you think will win this week. For a chance to win, go to thegamenashville.com for more details and to play. Silly underdog picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. When we come back, we'll get into the Tennessee Vols. We'll continue to break down their loss against Florida and what that means for Tennessee as they move ahead in SEC play for the rest of this season. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.